The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money.
The skies are sunny.
The skies are sunny.
Old man recession, you are through. You done us wrong.
And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Moray. But of course, I am your host, Ken Moray. This is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of personal finances. We talk about investment strategies, tax planning, social security. When it comes to retirement planning, that's what we talk about on this show. And we have a great show lined up for you this week. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Moray, the host of Money Matters with Ken Moray. Thank you, Dak. I've been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years.
Wow! I feel good.
And I do feel good. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. We now work with over 8,400 families. We are a retirement planning specialist. So we work with people primarily who are over the age of 50, who are retired or who are retiring soon. So if that's you, this show is designed for you. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent wealth advisors, and without our clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me go over with you, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of personal finances. So first of all, a question that I've been asked probably, I would say, last week five times from five different clients was, how will the midterm elections affect the market? Because if you guys know history, you know that the president's party, if they had a majority when the president was elected, usually the president loses that majority in the midterms. It happened to Bush, it happened to Obama, and probably it looks like it may happen to Donald Trump. So what's that going to do to the market? What does history tell us? What is our analysis? So we'll give you that one. Now, also, we're going to continue in our series. Now, last week, we started our series of the 18 risks faced in retirement. And believe it or not, there are 18 risks. And if you're going to have a properly designed financial plan, and you're thinking about all of the things that you should be thinking about, then you need to think about all 18 of them. So every week we're going to have one of them. So this week we're going to go with number two, which is inflation. So we're going to talk about inflation and how that affects your retirement planning, your investing, and your future. So we're going to talk about that. Now also, one of the things that I would say talk about with our clients at least, I would say almost every time actually, is Social Security. And so this week, I want to kind of have a discussion with you about Social Security spousal benefits. Okay, so if you're married, we're going to talk about some of the rules with regard to Social Security and help you to be more knowledgeable and make a better decision, hopefully. So we'll have that for you. Now, also, because we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon, our philosophy of how we manage our clients' money is different than someone who is working with for example, a 35-year-old or a 40-year-old, because if you're in that younger demographic, you're all about growth, right? You're working and you're growing your money, so you can take more risk. You can be more aggressive. You don't have to be so defensive and worry about suddenly taking big losses and that kind of thing because you got time to recover. However, if you're within 5 years of retirement or you're 5 years into retirement, that 10-year period is the single most important period of your entire financial life, in my opinion.
There's no doubt about it.
I think there is no doubt. And the reason why is because if you take a big loss during that 10-year period, many studies have shown that your money actually may not last the rest of your life. Okay, so therefore, we believe that you need to protect your principal during that period, and we believe it's paramount. So we have a philosophy which is called buy, hold, and sell. And because of that philosophy, we told our clients to sell in November of 2007 and said to stay out of the stock market for all of 2008 during the whole market crash that happened that year. And actually, our buy signal didn't come until June of 2009. So actually, for almost a year and a half, we were telling our clients to stay all the way out of the stock market. So our philosophy is not one that is, shall I say, mainstream. And so I actually wrote a book about it. It's called Buy, Hold, and Sell, coincidentally. And in it, I outlined the different myths that I perceive are associated with buy, hold. And buy, hold myth number six is, and this one, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard so often that you are actually going to finish this sentence for me. This is how amazing this one is. They have so brainwashed you that you will know how to finish this sentence for me. So I'm going to start it, and you, listening to the show, are going to finish it. You ready? Okay. So, Mr. and Mrs. Investor client, don't sell anything that you own regardless of what the market's doing. It doesn't matter if it's crashing around you. Don't sell anything because you haven't lost any money unless you, and I'm going to let you finish it because you know what the next word is, right? And I'm going to debunk that one. I think it's insanity later on in the show. Now, you know what, Jack? And Jack is my producer extraordinaire. You know what, Jack? Most shows would actually stop right there. I mean, most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me!
Oh, don't you dare stop me. On this show, do we stop right there? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about Aretha Franklin. This was actually a tip from a client. They said, you know, Ken, you ought to talk about Aretha Franklin, who died without a will just recently, and they're estimating her estate at $80 million, the Queen of Soul, first woman to be inducted into the Music Hall of Fame, so she has a lot of credit to her. And we're going to talk about the repercussions of that and the lessons that we can learn, okay? So we'll help you to make sure you don't make the mistake that she's made. Great musician, great singer, but she did not have good advice. So we'll talk about that at about 10 till. So let me, before we dive in, I just want to give you an update. As you guys may know, if you've listened to the show, my oldest daughter will be married on September 22nd. So that's coming around here in 2 weeks or less. And so one of the things that I have been told by many clients who have married off daughters is don't ever offer your opinion about anything. Well, I violated that rule. We went to the venue where the wedding was going to happen, and you know, it's a relatively small venue where there's about 160 people that can fit in there, and they had all the tables and everything and the altar, and there's the aisle where I'm supposed to walk her down the aisle, and I kind of thought, this aisle seems a little, you know, narrow for me and the wedding dress to fit, and I made the mistake of voicing that. Well, the moment I voiced that, everybody came on me. It's like, you know, if somebody were to attack the president and all the Secret Service people, like, they grabbed me, they put my arms behind my back, they took me, grabbed me by the head, slammed my face into the wall, handcuffed me, threw me down, and then they all pulled out guns and shot me. That's what I got for mentioning that the aisle was too narrow. So I will never, I guess I probably don't have much time left to do it again, but in any future weddings, I'm not saying anything, anything. Anyway, let's talk about the midterm elections. So according to, you know, one of the things that I think is possible is that the Republicans are may lose the majority in the House. Now, it's not a foregone conclusion, and, you know, elections are always subject to people voting, so we have to wait and see. But if history holds, that's likely to happen. And so what has the market done in other There have been 21 midterm election years since 1978. Is that what I'm reading here? But anyway, there have been 21 midterm elections, and according to Deutsche Bank, UBS, that the S&P 500 has rallied an average of 14.5% from the end of August to the end of March. Okay, so from essentially what just happened, we just ended August through the end of next March. History says that the market, the S&P, has gone up 14.5% during that time.
Shazam!
Yes, Gomer, and that is with, in almost every one of those cases, a change in power. Okay, so that's what we start looking at. Now, the other thing also that's interesting in that analysis is that the September and early October are down periods historically, on average, down about 1.4%. And the reason why is because leading into the elections, there's uncertainty, who's going to win, what's going to happen, what changes are coming, that kind of thing. And as we all know, the market does not like uncertainty. It likes to, people want to invest with the confidence that they know what's going on. When there's uncertainty, people don't like to. Now, at Deutsche Bank, they also did a study, and they said that the 3 months that run ahead of the elections and the 2 months after the election have produced an average of an 8% gain. Okay, so if you go from September through January, that's an 8% gain, and that goes back to 1978, and that includes only one time in 1978 when there was a drop. Okay, so every single time after that, it's been a gain. So if you're concerned about the elections, I would say that history tells us that the market usually goes up after the midterms, and during periods when there's a change in power, it doesn't seem to cause the market to have any consternation. And so therefore, we are confident as well. I believe that you should be investing. I think there's a lot of upside here, way more than downside. I don't think we're going to have a bear market or recession, at least until after the end of next year. So if you're not invested, you should be thinking about it. And if you are invested, you should make sure that you are invested and you are diversified based on the amount of risk that you should be taking. And this is a function of your age, your income, when you're going to retire, all those kind of things. So here's what I want you to do. Yeah, if you go to our website, it is moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net is our website. And on there, you have several options, one of which is to attend one of our seminars. Now, we have seminars that are designed for those of you who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. Yeah, so if that's you, then at the seminar, we're going to be talking about how to fight inflation, which I think is the single worst enemy you have to your financial well-being. We're going to talk about how to reduce your income taxes, strategies for people who are retired on reducing your income taxes. We're going to talk about our strategy of buy, hold, and sell, to how to protect yourself from the next market crash. We're going to talk about your 401k, your profit-sharing plans. We'll talk about when you should take Social Security and all those kinds of decisions. We'll have tons of things for you to think about, learn about at the seminar. So go to our website, moneymatters.net, moneymatters.net, and we'll look forward to seeing you at one of our seminars. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have number 2 in our 18 risks faced in retirement, which is inflation. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I've been a certified financial planner professional for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. We are a retirement planning specialist. We work primarily with people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. That's who we want to work with. And as of the end of last month, we now work with over 8,400 families in 43 states.
Wow!
Yes, and it is an honor. It is a privilege. We are so blessed. And in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm, Money Matters, one of the top wealth managers. And, you know, we're very proud of that. But without our clients, we would be nowhere. So clients listening right now, and even those that aren't, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, this is, we started a series last week of the 18 risks that people face in retirement. And you wouldn't think it, but there are 18 of them, and which is a lot. But in your financial planning process, what you need to do is make sure that you are addressing all 18. And if you're not, then I think you have an incomplete retirement plan. So when we work with clients, we want to make sure we address all of these. So each week, I'm going to go through one of them. And we started that last week with number one. So therefore, this week is number two. It's funny how that math works, isn't it? Well, this week, we're going to talk about inflation. And I think inflation is the single worst enemy you have to your financial well-being. Yeah, you hear that sound? That's your purchasing power being chainsawed. I like that drop. Good shot. Anyway, yes, so inflation is a dastardly, nefarious, inscrutable enemy. And if you don't defeat inflation, it will defeat you. And here's the thing. You know, when we talk with clients, especially when they're brand new, and we tend to work, as I said, with people who are over 50, we start looking at potentially being retired for 30 years. So if you're going to be retired for 30 years and you look at inflation and what it can do to your purchasing power, okay? I mean, right now, we appear to have low inflation, but that's, you know, historically anomalous. It's not a normal thing for us to have inflation this low. Normally, inflation runs a lot higher than this. And if you look at a 3% inflation, over 30 years, your cost of living could double and then double again. I mean, it's really, there's a lot of increased cost to live. Now, while you're working, the thing about inflation is that people get raises and those kind of things. So your wages tend to keep up with inflation. But once you've retired, now your investments need to do that for you. And that's a totally different story. So one of the things I want to tell you is that when we look at how to project inflation with clients and prospective clients, and we put together their financial plan, what we look at is different phases of your life and what that's going to do to your cost of living. Okay, so there are some things, for example, that don't go up with inflation, which would be for like if you have a mortgage. Okay, your mortgage payment doesn't go up every year with inflation. So there are some things that stay fixed. But then there are other things like healthcare, which goes up, if you're traveling, if you go out to eat, you know, different things like that, your utility bills. So what we do is we look at phases of life, and we think of your retirement as three phases. And we go in decades, all right? So we look at the first decade, and we overestimate what we actually think your cost of living will do during that period. And so what we do is we assume that your cost of living is going to rise by 4% during that first decade of your retirement. Now, remember, when I'm talking about inflation, I'm not talking about inflation in the national economy. Okay, I'm not talking about the CPI, because when you're retired, most of the things on the CPI don't affect you. Okay, they've got diapers on there. They've got college education on there. They've got, buying new cars all the time on there. And if you're a retired person, you probably aren't doing any of those things anymore. Okay, so I'm looking at you, your personal cost of living, and we're going to estimate it's going to go up of first decade by 4%. Probably it won't happen. Okay, my experience with clients is that that's not the case. But we want to overestimate on purpose. Okay, if we build a plan where we've overestimated inflation and it doesn't turn out to be that, then we have more money than we thought we would have. That's a good thing.
How very interesting.
It actually is very interesting. Yes. Then the second decade is, we drop it down 1%, so we go to 3%. Okay, so then the second 10 years, we go to 3%, meaning your cost of living has continued to rise, but it just doesn't rise as rapidly. And Department of Labor statistics tell us that as you get older, your cost of living will actually go down, believe it or not. You know, just think of your parents and, they slowed down, they stopped doing as much. And that, unfortunately, is the case for all of us, right? As we get older, we're not able to travel as much. We can't play tennis three times a week anymore. We can't go out. There's different things that happen as we slow down, and therefore our cost of living will tend to slow down. However, in our projections, we assume it's still going up, just not as rapidly. So again, we're being very conservative, we believe, in that estimation. Now, in the third decade, and then for the rest of your life, what we do is we say that your cost of living is going to rise by 2% each year. Now, again, the national economy may be rising by 5 or 6%. We may have super high inflation, but we're going to look at you and say you're not going to be doing all those things that is in the CPI. Okay, so just again to clarify that. So then in that last period of your life, after the first 20, we estimate at 2%. Now, I've been using those calculations now for all the time that I've been doing this. And what I've discovered is that it is in almost every case, it has been an overestimation. meaning that my clients have not experienced their cost of living going up that high, at that rate. But I do that on purpose, and I'm happy that that's the case, because when we build a plan, we want to be very conservative in all of our assumptions. We tend to overestimate on the bad things and underestimate on the good things, and then that way we build a plan that under that scenario, it would be okay, but if anything better happens, we'll be even better. And our clients, I think, for the most part, agree with that philosophy. So that's how we build the inflation component into our planning, and that's how I think you should as well. Now, what I'd like you to do, if you're interested in talking with one of our financial advisors and helping and have them help you to build your financial plan, taking into account inflation and income taxes and your, you know, what you spend your money on, budgeting, helping you to build your retirement income, and looking at how you're invested and seeing if you're taking as much risk or too much, we'll talk about all those things with you, and we do it at no charge or obligation. So here's how you do it. Go to our website. It's moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net is the website. And click on the link that says meet with an advisor. Okay. When you do that, what will happen is you'll put your info in there and we'll schedule a time to visit with you. And what we want to do is get an idea of all your sources of income, all your sources of expenses, and then we want to build a plan for you. Okay. We'll do it at no charge or obligation. And if we can help you, that is fantastic. And if we cannot, then we'll tell you that too. Okay, so either way, there is no charge, there's no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And you know what? Bogey is right. It is absolutely the beginning of a beautiful friendship. So take advantage of it. Go to our website. It is moneymatters.net. And you know, on our website, you can browse around there, and we have videos, we have podcasts of this show, we have articles about things that if you are retired or retiring soon, we think would be of great interest to you. We have a whole section on Social Security planning, another on income planning, on estate planning, all the things that we think would be of interest to someone who's retired or retiring soon, we try to put on there. We have podcasts of this show. If you missed parts of the show, you can go back and listen. So it's all there for you at moneymatters.net. But most importantly, what I encourage you to do is to meet with one of our advisors, build your financial plan, and our goal is for you to have financial peace of mind and to enjoy your second childhood without parental supervision. So moneymatters.net. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security spousal benefits. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
Diamonds are forever. But you know what? Good financial planning ideas, I think, are even better, because if you have a good financial plan that helps you to achieve your financial goals, you may be able to buy diamonds as many times as you wish. You know what? That would be a good thing. Anyway, we are back. This is Ken Morafe. I am the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I've been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients.
I love it!
And I love every moment of it, I have to say. And, you know, we are retirement planning specialists, so we work primarily with people that are over the age of 50 who are retired or retiring soon. And so if that's you, then this show, our advisory firm, we are here to help you. And we now work with over 8,400 families, and Financial Times, for the second time, actually named our advisory firm one of the 300 top registered investment advisors. And, you know, we're very proud of these kinds of designations, and they help us to feel good about ourselves, for sure. But you know what? If it wasn't for our clients, we would be nowhere at all. So all you clients listening right now, we are so grateful to you. And if you're not a client, you can learn more about us. We are at moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net is our website. Now, one of the things that comes up almost every time we visit with clients is Social Security. And discussions around that are important ones because, you know, for most people, that's one of the biggest sources of income that you're going to have. So I want to go through with you this week and ask you some questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to test your knowledge of Social Security when it comes to spousal benefits. Okay? So, first question I'm going to ask you is spousal benefits, what percentage do you think you can get of your spouse's Social Security benefits? The answer is you can get 50%. Okay, so when you start collecting You can collect half of your spouse's or your own, whichever is the higher. Okay. Now, when you do that, they still get to collect theirs. Okay. So it's not like it's exclusive. So you end up with 1.5 times theirs if both of you collect and you do it that way. So here's a question. Steve begins benefits at age 62. Now, when you take benefits at 62, you're going to get a 25% reduction in your benefits. Okay, so remember that. So if you were going to get $100 at 66, you take it at 62, you're going to get $75 instead. So his benefit at his normal retirement age when he's 66 would be $2,000. Okay, Steve receives $1,500 at 62. He would have gotten $2,000, but he's going to get $1,500 instead, because he started at 62. His wife, Beth, begins taking hers when she is 66. Beth will receive half of Steve's age 62 benefit. Is that true or false? The answer is it's false. The reason why is because she can get half of his age 66 benefit, not what he got because he started at age 62. Surprise, 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 as Gomer would say. So, Albert, his Social Security benefit at age 66 is $2,500. However, he begins to take benefits when he's 70. He waits till he's 70, and instead of getting $2,500, he gets $3,300 because he waited till he was 70 and he got the benefit increases over those years. So Betty, she becomes 66 now, and she decides she wants to get half of his. So what does she get? Half of his $2,500, which was his 66 benefit, or half of the $3,300, which is what he's actually getting because he waited till he was 70. Well, if you remember the answer to the previous question, the answer is she gets half of his age 66 benefit, not his age 70. So she would get half of his $2,500, not the $3,300. Okay, so it's the spouse can get half of the age 66 or the normal retirement age benefit of their spouse. Now, Ron and Kathy are married and both wish to receive spousal benefits at the same time. Is this permissible? Can I take half of yours and you get half of mine? The answer is no. Only one spouse can do that. All right, now, next question. Bob was a stand-up comedian and he never earned much money. Okay, and he was married to Betty and Amber, married to two different women, and at different times, and for 10 years each. Okay, so this guy, he had some long marriages. 10 is a long time, although I'm going on 34 now, so I'd call that short, but 10's a long time. And he just turned 62. Okay, so he just turned 62, and he's been married twice, and both times he was married for 10 years. Betty, one of his wives, is age 62, so he decides to file for spousal benefits off of Betty's work record. Okay, because he wants to get half of hers. Amber turned 62 a couple of years later. Bob's spousal benefit off of Amber would be higher. Can he switch? Can he start with one and then switch to the other one? You know what the answer is? Yes, you can. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So you can switch. You can go from spouse to spouse. So, you know, if you're married for 10 years. So those are some tips for you. And there are many more, and we'll do those on the future shows. So if you are over the age of 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, I want you to come to one of our seminars. I want you to meet with one of our advisors. You can do all kinds of things, and you can do so by going to our website. It is moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net. Sign up for a seminar, meet with an advisor. We'd help you with your Social Security and all kinds of other things as well. So it's moneymatters.net. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about buy hold myth number 6, which is you haven't lost any money unless you fill in the blank, and you'll be wrong. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morave.
He's your guy when stocks go high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouse.
And you know what? Diamonds may be a girl's best friend, and spouses go back to their, what is it? Louses go back to their spouses when the stock market goes down. Well, you know what? In 2008, the S&P went down 57%. I bet there were a lot of louses that went back to their spouses, if that's the criteria. Anyway, we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morave. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morave. Thank you, Dak. I've been a certified financial planner professional for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And recently, for the sixth year in a row, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors. And as proud of that as I may be, we would be nowhere without our clients, and we currently serve over 8,400 families in 43 states. And yes, a big kiss. And we are retirement planning specialists, so we work primarily with people that are over the age of 50 who are retired or retiring soon. So if you are one of those people and you want to talk with somebody about your finances and your financial planning and your goal setting and all those kind of things, we would love, love, love to be able to have that opportunity. Our website is moneymatters.net, and on there you can find information about us, but also we put videos and articles and podcasts and things that we think would be of benefit to you just from an educational standpoint as well. Now, because we work with people that are mostly retired and retiring soon, our philosophy of how we manage your money is different than if you were 20, 30, or 40 years old. And the reason I say that is because when you are those ages, you have a long time ahead of you before you are going to retire. So you should be, if you are in those age brackets, you should be more aggressively invested, right? You should be growing your money. You're living, I would presume, on your wages, and so you don't need your investments at this time to live on. So therefore, you should be more aggressive in your whole outlook. And you've got time on your side, and that's a great resource. Now, once you get to be 50 or over, now retirement is within your sight. It's right there. And now, in our view, you need to change how you think. You can't be as aggressive as you were. You need to become more conservative. You need to look at your diversification. You need to start thinking about protecting what you've built, because you don't have another 30 years ahead of you if you're 60 to rebuild it if you take a big loss in a bear market or something like that. So now the things that could hurt you, inflation, taxes, bear markets, all those things become way more important than they were back when you were working. So because of that, our philosophy of how we would manage your money for you if you were a client and you were about to retire or are retired is we would want to help protect your principal. That would be our most important criteria, is to make sure that we protect your principal to the extent that we can.
To hear you say that makes me love you, baby.
Well, I love you back, man. So therefore, we have a philosophy that we call buy, hold, and sell. And it's basically a strategy that we use. And this strategy enabled us to tell our clients and all of you listening to the show, for that matter, and those of you getting my Market Alert email as well, that you should sell all your stock holdings in November of 2007. And this was way ahead of when Lehman crashed in 2008 and all that kind of stuff. So almost a year ahead of that. So for those of you who followed our advice, you were out of the stock markets for all of 2008. And our buy signal, we are buy, hold, and sell, not just sell. You got to also know when to buy. You got to have a strategy for that as well. And our buy signal came in June of 2009, which was almost a year and a half later. So for a year and a half, we were counseling our clients to be out of the stock market. Why? Because taking big losses, regardless of whether you can recover from them or not, I don't think is a good idea for somebody with such a short time frame or who's living on their money. Okay? So if you're over 50, that's you. Now, buy hold myth number six, and I've outlined the buy hold myths in my book, Buy, Hold, and Sell, is one that you have heard so often that you can actually finish the sentence for me. Okay? So I'm going to start it, and ladies and gentlemen, you finish it for me. Okay, so it goes like this. Don't ever sell anything, okay? Whatever you bought, keep it. And if it's dropping like a stone, it doesn't matter if it's losing 10, 15, 30, 40%, keep it, because you haven't lost any money unless you sell. That's what they tell you, don't they? Now think about how clever that is, okay? You haven't lost any money unless you sell. So what are you thinking? Okay, I will never sell. I'm sold. I don't want to sell. I don't want to lose money. And if the only way I'm going to lose money is by selling, I'm not. I promise I never will sell. Well, who does that benefit? You or the person that's making money off the fact that you're still invested? Why do you think they came up with that? I mean, think about it. Now, if you haven't lost any money unless you sell, then I'm going to go back to the employees of Enron. Think about those people. You may remember that, right? What happened with them was they were locked out of selling Enron stock at the end. They were locked out of it. Enron just put a stop to all trading. They didn't sell anything. Did they lose their money? Yes, they lost everything. You saw those people on television. They had lost everything, and they didn't sell anything. So this notion that you haven't lost any money unless you sell, I think, is a lie. What it's really saying is you haven't lost any money unless you sell and it comes back. Okay? And it comes back is the part that they're leaving off when they say that. But the "and it's going to come back" part requires a crystal ball. And I don't know anybody that has a crystal ball that actually works. So unless you are guaranteed that it's going to come back, you can lose money if you don't sell. In fact, I would say the only way to make sure you don't lose everything is to sell. If people had sold Enron before it crashed, they would still have their money. So I believe it's the opposite. You preserve your principal by selling. And that's why in November of 2007, when we told our clients to sell, you know, if you had sold then that value that you sold, you would have had, regardless of what the market did after that. So that's why if you are retired or retiring soon, I believe that having a buy, hold, and sell philosophy is paramount. Now, if you agree with that philosophy, I encourage you to go to our website. It's moneymatters.net, okay, moneymatters.net. And when you're there, we have articles, videos, podcasts, we have information about our strategy. But most importantly, you have two options that you can take advantage of. One is you can go to one of our seminars where we talk about all the things that we can think of that if you are retired or retiring soon, you need to be thinking about, okay, including Social Security decisions, including your 401k, including income taxes, all that stuff. And then also, you have the option to meet with an advisor. So if you just want to go directly to the source and get started on your financial planning, then we'd be happy to do that with you as well. And either way, whether it's a seminar or meeting with an advisor, it's all at no charge or obligation. And regardless of what happens, we will part friends.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, Frankie, you are welcome. So take advantage of those. Go to moneymatters.net and have fun. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our state tip of the week. And this week, we're going to talk about Aretha Franklin, who died with an $80 million estate and no will. Ouch. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
Who wants to be a millionaire? Have flashy flunkies everywhere.
Flashy flunkies?
Who wants the bother of a country estate?
A country estate.
Who wants to wallow in champagne?
And we are wallowing in champagne. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I've been a certified financial planner now for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm, Money Matters, one of the top wealth managers. Yes, and we're very proud of that. But without our clients, we would be nowhere. And we now work with over 8,400 families in 43 states. It is such an honor and a privilege. We are so blessed. And I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that you are having an absolutely fantastic weekend. You know, we are retirement planning specialists. That's what we do. We work with people primarily who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, this show's designed for you. Everything we do, we want to help you. Okay? Now, one of the things that we talk about with clients, it's among many, but it's an important one, is how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. This is also called estate planning. And normally we have a tip for you, but this week we're going to have lessons learned, I guess. And we're going to look at Aretha Franklin, who recently passed away, and God bless her. She actually was an amazing woman. You know, I mean, if you think about it, she was the first woman inducted into the Music Hall of Fame in 1987, I believe. And she sold 170 million copies of her music. I mean, she was the queen of soul, truly a remarkable person. But she had bad advice. You know, she died with an estimated $80 million estate, and she had no will. So we're going to talk about the lessons we can learn from that one. But first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate, they are designed to do the exact opposite. They're designed to take you from riches to rags. And we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So let's talk about Aretha Franklin's estate. Now, she was single. And when she passed, she has four children. And in Michigan, where she's from, the estate taxes, the law, they don't have a state estate tax. Okay, there are some states that do, but Michigan doesn't. So the only tax that her estate will be subject to is the federal estate tax. And had she been married, there would be no tax right now because it would go to her husband with no taxes. There's an unlimited marital deduction that would happen there. But she was single, so therefore she died without a will, so now it's going to be distributed to her four children. Now, here's the problem. Because she didn't do any estate planning, and there are many things she could have done, but she didn't, the estate tax is 40% of anything over $11.8
million.
Yes. So her estate was $80 million, so therefore her family is now going to owe $27.5 million in estate taxes. Can you imagine that? $27 million in taxes. And that's on the current valuation. Now, in Michigan, they actually have a thing where if you're a person like Aretha Franklin, where her persona has a value that they also impute into her estate. And so that's also going to be something that's going to be litigated and fought. So because she didn't have a will, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a lot of contestation, litigation, all kinds of stuff is going to happen. People are going to pop out of the woodwork. They're going to say they should have been an heir and this and that. And so all kinds of stuff is going to happen. Now, the other thing that she had, her four children, one of her children, Clarence, reportedly is a special needs child. And so Mrs. Franklin's death without a will could put her son in a precarious position. Okay, her estate will be distributed outright to the four of them. Therefore, he'll get a fourth, meaning that Clarence could lose any aid that he's currently getting from Medicaid, any supplemental Social Security, any subsidized housing, anything that he would be getting or might have been getting. He's going to lose all of that by virtue of the fact that he is now inheriting. So one of the things that she could have done, and by the way, I'm not denigrating her in any way. You know, she's a fantastic person and a great singer, and she's a role model for a lot of people. So I'm not putting her down. I'm just saying that the planning that could have been done and her advisors let her down. And a special needs trust would have been a very appropriate thing in this situation, okay? And that's a kind of trust that's designed to help to preserve all the benefits that a special needs child would be getting, even though they might inherit a large sum. So a lot of lessons to be learned there. We're going to see. This one's probably going to be stuck in court for many years, and there's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees spent, you know, just like Prince's estate. He died a few years ago, and he also died without a will, and they're still litigating that one. So God bless her. I hope she rests in peace. Lessons learned. Anyway, if you would like to talk to us about your estate planning, that is part of what we do with clients. We also talk about your retirement planning. We also talk about Social Security planning, 401k planning, all the things that we can think of to help you to have a what we call your second childhood without parental supervision. Okay,
that's. Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, it isn't too wonderful to be true because it is true. And so we call your retirement your second childhood without parental supervision because we want you to go play, we want you to have fun, and we want to enjoy what you have earned and not worry about your finances. Okay, when people ask us, what do you do for a living, we say we sell financial peace of mind. If our clients feel that, then we feel like we've done our job. So if you want to visit with one of our advisors, if you want to go to one of our seminars and learn about retirement planning and all of that kind of stuff, if you want us to build a financial plan for you at no charge or obligation, which you can take and do with as you wish, then go to our website. It is moneymatters.net. Okay, moneymatters.net. And take advantage of all the opportunities on there. There's lots of information for you to learn from as well. So we would love to be able to work with you. And if we can, that's great. And if not, that's fine too. All right, so moneymatters.net is our website. Well, you know what? I cannot believe how fast this show has gone. It's over already. Man, Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.